Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Growth Digger, where we talk about everything growth, not just at the top of the funnel, not just at the middle of the funnel, but across the funnel. And those of you who you know me, I have been a career marketer and customer experiences professional for over 25 years. More importantly, the team of 350 professionals that we have at Growth Natives, that's the company I am the founder and head, we help our customers activate growth marketing strategies at the top of the funnel, managing growth throughout the middle and the bottom of the funnel, and then also making sure that post becoming a customer, there's like a whole life cycle that any individual or company that you engage with has, and just optimizing that to get you the best possible growth. In the Growth Podcast, our goal is to talk to innovative, creative professionals that have just done that in their careers multiple times and are able to share some stories with us about how they have unlocked growth for either their companies that they work for. Or I'm very lucky to have Alex Thorek as my guest today. Alex has been a career growth professional. He has co-founded Income on Demand. Before that, he headed up Thor Marketing and multiple other organizations. So, Alex, would you like to add a little bit flavor to your introduction here?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thanks a lot for having me on the show. I'm very excited for today's conversation. So I've been in the marketing space for the last 7 years, specifically in this digital marketing space, where we were helping local businesses, small business owners, and solopreneurs create marketing systems and client acquisition systems that will bring in leads and customers to those local businesses. And as I said, over the last 7 years, I've had experience working with many different industries, such as gym, spa, restaurants, insurance, real estate, pretty much every, I would say, the five or six main industries that you can think of.
Were they all very local oriented, or was it like more, were any of them like small chains?
Right. So most of them were local oriented. Some of them were chains because they would have multiple different, let's say, like restaurants or fitness studios. One of the examples I could give you is like a CrossFit studio. It's more of a kettlebell club, but the idea behind it is just like a CrossFit studio where we started working with them during COVID, and then COVID hit. And the owner said to us right away, he was like, I don't want to stop advertising. I want to keep on going. So even though everything was closed down, they moved to online. We were still promoting. We found different ways on doing things through the content, not necessarily just lead generation, but also educating people and creating no contrast factor with the audience, especially when you do it locally, a little bit different compared to when you do it nationally or especially internationally.
Like national chains and national brands.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But I know everybody's living room is suddenly their fitness studio as well.
So 100%. But because we figured out a way on how to show up in front of people pretty much multiple times by leveraging the content, not necessarily just running ads. So leveraging the content, and we would run some ads to that content. So we would target the ideal audience that gym owner was able to, when they started removing restrictions, people could train outside. So we started pushing that a little bit. And then when they removed all the restrictions, he opened the second studio in the city nearby, which was
what city was it?
It was in Montreal. And then in his case, like the next gym was in Laval, which is like, it's on the other side of the river.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what was, like, if you had to talk about some wisdom to the folks, especially like that are like local businesses and are also wanting to be more digital and really foster more growth, what are the three things that you think really worked in this situation that can be applied to other local businesses?
I would say the first thing is the mindset of the business owner, of him understanding them that he's making an investment that is going to pay out. And it eventually did. And it did in a big way because other studios, other gyms pretty much closed down. So the first one is the mindset, going in with the right mindset in terms of the marketing. Second thing is the content. People need, or business owners need, to start leveraging content. And I'm not talking about them becoming a content creator necessarily, or like an influencer, because whenever I talk to them, they tell me I'm not interested in being an influencer or like doing a YouTube channel and all those things. And we say, you don't necessarily
it's
do
not
that.
Easy either. They're running, like, let's say in this case, he's running a full business. He's also probably like training people. He's probably like the trainer there. And just taking time to create content, strategizing about it, creating it, publishing it. It takes a village, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why we are doing things a little bit differently, where we create, let's say, 3 to 5 pieces of content in the beginning. It could be the short form content, let's say Reels, up to 60 seconds long. At this point, it's up to 90 seconds. And we would take those ones and we would run ads targeting their ideal audience and let them consume those Reels. Because I don't know if you know the study that Google did, they called it 7-11-4. They wanted to see how much time it takes a person from not knowing about the company to becoming a client. Based on their research, they realized it takes customer or a potential customer to consume 7 hours of content, have 11 touch points across 4 different channels. So it could be 2 social media platforms, let's say they fill out a form, they now in the email list, and now they're getting emails and maybe even a call from the company. So it is important to have multiple touch points these days. And that's why with the short form content and by running ads to the ideal audience, we get to pretty much shorten that time frame and get multiple touch points in a shorter amount of time.
God. And I'm assuming a lot of it was fueled through paid advertising on...
Most of it, yes. So we would post content organically. But again, with organic content, you can't control it much. Even with the frameworks that we have, the video frameworks that we are using, not every video is going to gain thousands or tens of thousands, not even talking about hundreds of thousands of views. Yeah. So we would put, honestly, like $5 behind every video, $5 a day, and we would run them targeting the ideal audience, and then we would switch them on and off. Because in case with this type of a campaign, and again, doing it locally, our goal is to get engagement. Like the goal of those videos was to get engagement. Like we didn't necessarily sell anything in it. But then as the third step, because they asked me about the three things. So as a third step, what we would do is we would take people who engaged with the content, who either engaged with the content or watched at least 25% of the video, and we would retarget them with the offer itself. Because at that point, they know about the business. Most likely they'd like it if they engage with it. And some people, I'm sure, already have trust with the business itself. So at that point, they'll be more willing to take the action that we want them to take, which is take the business on their offer.
God. You mentioned like it was a local business. During COVID, fitness was, the industry saw a huge boom, and your in-house fitness, be it the Pelotons or there was like so many other companies that came out with products and services that were converging. And you said that the focus was still local. So was it important to keep that local focus? Did it play a part in the story that you guys were telling? Or was it more just like he wanted to be local in his approach?
So he wanted to be local to become really known in the area, because his idea was to, at some point, to grow into a franchise. So eventually he basically opened the second location. He has a plan to open a third location and maybe eventually build an entire franchise that he's going to either run on his own or maybe sell it as a license, basically. But yeah, in his case, it was the main focus. We were thinking about doing like an online course type of thing, because they were still doing online trainings with their current customers. And with all the new clients that were coming in, they would still do it online. But people knew that they can come in at any time. And even when the COVID was done, that's what people liked too, because some people were still... they were not comfortable going to the gym in person and they wanted to train online, basically. So at that point they were doing classes both online and in person. So they could leverage both things.
That's a wonderful story. Any other story that you would like to talk about since we have a few minutes?
Absolutely. Is there anything specific that you'd like?
Maybe if there was like a more unique situation. This was obviously very unique, but it also was like the fitness industry also saw like a huge boom during COVID, and also a lot of adoption for like online training and everything else. It was like an extraordinary event that precipitated a lot of this as well.
Yeah.
Like a normal situation where just a regular business is trying to be more digital and growth oriented and kind of stepped in and helped them.
Yeah, so a regular business trying to be more digital is, honestly, I would say like a spa that we worked with as well. We would start using pretty much the same structure. So in the beginning, we would run a campaign directly targeting people into their offer, which was working amazingly well back in 2017, 2018, even 2019. These days, it's all about, it's a mix. So we call it hybrid marketing because it's a mix of content and the main offer, basically. Because these days, the trust is at all-time low and people see a lot, like there is a lot of information in today's world.
It is. That's the thing. In today's world, there is so much content out there. It's very hard to trust what's true and what's not.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bait and switch going on as well. Like, yeah. How does one differentiate themselves from the bait and switch shop and somebody who's really a genuine person trying to do good business?
So the way we look at it in the beginning, whenever we start working with the client, is we want to make sure that they have the right messaging and targeting the right audience. Because a lot of times we would start working with the client and we would ask them, who's your ideal client? Who do you like to work with? And they're, a lot of times they would say, I can help everyone. We're like, no, it doesn't work that way. So we used to work with restaurants quite a bit, especially prior to COVID. But then COVID came and 70% of our business was out. Because a lot of them were more of sport bars. So you would go there.
It's an experience.
Yeah, like the place at pool. You watch, I don't know, soccer or box or UFC. And in case of those guys, like doing Uber, not necessarily like how they would make the money. But even in their case, like we would ask exactly the same question. Who is your audience? And they would even say, everyone. I'm like, come on. Like a family with kids are not going to come to a sport bar.
Exactly.
So every single time, whenever we start working with a client, that's the first thing. So we want to make sure that we have the right messaging to the right audience.
Yes.
So we could use the dog whistle strategy in a way where we, of course, we can target those people through any platform, any social media platform or Google. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we talk directly to them and cover their pain points or their desires. That's what we've seen.
Being, obviously, understanding the real customer.
Yeah, get into their shoes.
And then building content and stories and offers that really mean something to them.
Exactly.
Targeting them at the top of the funnel with good content, drawing them in, and then eventually, like, pushing an offer that they can't refuse.
Create an irresistible offer that, as you said, make them an offer like in the movie The Godfather, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. That's good, man.
It was wonderful catching up with you, Alex. And I think you've shared some really good insights of how there needs to be a commitment from the business, be it small, be it big,
mm-hmm.
to what they're trying to achieve. And I totally agree with you. That's like the number one thing is you have to be open to accepting the change that you want to usher in. And then obviously following it with some level of commitment through a process that actually helps you achieve that end goal. And then the third thing that I've always pushed business people to is that, hey, you got to measure everything that you're doing. And then everything that we will do will not be outrageously successful or equally successful.
100%.
You do a handful of experiments, you try certain advertising strategies, you may even try different segments. But then eventually success will come from somewhere. And that somewhere is very important. Understanding what that somewhere is and how you got there is very important so that you can replicate it over and over again, please.
Yeah. So you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Because a lot of times what happens is entrepreneurs, businesses in general, they would try something, it would work, and then they'll be like, oh, well, let me try this thing. So don't do that. This is working. Keep on doing it.
Yeah, I think identifying what works for them is great. But anyhow, Alex, like I said, it was great to have you. Thank you for being a wonderful guest. And folks that have tuned in, thank you for joining us. Hope you learned something from Alex and myself. And we would like to continue bringing you great stories through Growth Digger. So stay tuned and thank you.